Last month, El Salvador became the first country in the world to ban mining of all precious metals. This didn't happen on its own. The new law was the result of years of activism, an effort that brought together social groups, environmentalists, the Catholic Church, and legislators on both sides of the aisle. There was very little opposition, and everyone celebrated. Everyone, that is, except some small-scale miners who still make their living from digging for gold. Deepa Fernandez went to visit them in eastern El Salvador.
It's parched and dusty as the sun beats down in the mountains of San Sebastian. I'm with Freddy Flores. He's 53, and he's been working in mines since he was 15. Flores picks up some rocks and cracks them open and points inside them.
So this color right here shows that there is gold around.
Despite the crippling heat, his eyes light up as he points out the yellow tint on the inside of the grayish stone. Gold. These mountains are rich with metallic minerals like gold and silver. Multinational mining companies started coming in the early 2000s, but then, in 2008, it all ground to a halt when the government agreed to a moratorium on big mining after activists highlighted the pollution it was causing. But the country's last remaining small mining operations were allowed to continue. They're known as artisanal mines, but don't think hipster bakery. It's more like subsistence farming. Flores is taking me to one of these mines, a tiny, tiny operation run by individuals from the community. We pass through many brittle riverbeds. Everything here is dry. So trickling streams like this one have become the focal point of the activists' case that metal mining was poisoning the water. Freddy Flores has no patience for the environmentalists. He calls them liars.
This is the eye of the hurricane right here, where they are fabricating lies that we're contaminating the water.
He throws water on his face from the stream to show how safe it is. Yet there's a lot of proof that toxic waste from metal mining has poisoned waterways and made people very sick. Activists used it to make the case for ending this kind of mining. But for Flores, his community's way of life and its livelihood has just been banned. He's pretty mad.
We haven't had any contagious diseases here. We haven't had any strange illnesses, nor people dying young. We haven't had any children born with genetic disorders.
600 families live off these mines, he says. That's a lot of mouths to feed. Along the way, trudging through the rocky terrain, is 86-year-old Juan Bonilla. He tells me he's a miner and he loves what he does. I ask him what he's going to do now that the government has banned mining. He didn't even know it was banned. Well, you know better than me, he says. Freddy Flores pats him on the back sympathetically. The law allows for 2 more years of small-scale mining to give people like Bonilla a chance to transition to a new line of work. We arrive at a small makeshift encampment where dusty, barefooted men are eating lunch and taking refuge from the hot sun. One man wheels out a barrow of large grey stones from what looks like a doorway in the side of the mountain. Another man, Rudy Francisco Sosa, is bent over a half-moon-shaped plastic container washing some crumbled rocks to weed out the useless stuff and see what gold he might have. After 5 minutes, he casts it all aside. Nada.
Well, I like working here because here I don't have a boss. I work for myself. We don't have anyone ordering us around.
He and other subsistence miners dug into the side of this hill to build the mine shaft 8 months ago. They go in every day in the hope of finding gold. Some days they do.
But there are weeks we don't find anything.
But Sosa goes on to tell me there are no bad chemicals or waste. People are not getting sick, and people only die here because of old age. Why can't the government in San Salvador just leave them to do their small-scale mining, he asks.
And if they take away these mines, well, we can thank them for not having anywhere to work.
He trudges back into the heat of the mineshaft to try again. Back under the canopy where the other artisanal miners rest, a discussion heats up. One miner says all the big companies have done is contaminate. And people have gotten sick from the mining runoff, he says. It's okay to stop the big mining companies, he says, but let the small guys keep doing their thing. They're not hurting anyone. It's not a message being heard in the halls of power back in San Salvador.
You see a 40-year-old man and he looks 70.
Guillermo Mata is a legislator with the ruling leftist FMLN party. He's also the president of the Assembly's Environment Commission. He says the law is for the subsistence miners' own good, even if they don't know it.
They're in really bad health.
The right-wing Arena Party also came on board for this historic vote. Martha Evelyn Batres says her party cares about what happens to these small-scale miners.
The law established a two-year period for these artisanal miners to adapt, to have the space to look around for alternatives as a way to subsist. More technological work, which is not so, well, rural.
Yet that rings hollow to Sosa, the artisanal miner back in San Sebastian.
I don't think they'll ever give us work. The government doesn't even have work for educated people. Forget about us.
Banning metal mining is most certainly historic, a big win for environmentalists and for bipartisan politics. Yet what happens to the subsistence miners in San Sebastian might be a test case for how the country takes care of the little guys who got lost in the middle. For The World, Deepa Fernandez, El Salvador.
You can see what an artisanal gold mine looks like over at PRI.org. Deepa's reporting was supported by the International Women's Media Fund as part of its Adelante Latin America Reporting Initiative.